Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Monday on The Savage Nation. Welcome. And there is a moon out tonight, by the way. Yes, indeed. The rogue president keeps on rolling along. The rogue president just keeps on rolling along. Just as the sun comes up every day, the rogue president rises every day to spit upon the working class of America. Yes, that's right. You see, the word working class, or the phrase working class, used to have another meaning. Today, of course, the working class are you and I. And that ranges all the way up and down the scale of those of us who actually work and pay taxes, boys and girls. Because you see, under Obama, not everyone works and pays taxes. Only about 50% of adults work and pay taxes. The rest of the bums suck us dry. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to get upset because you're still hungover from the football game. The great football game that I didn't watch. Now, I'm not trying to sit here on a high horse saying I'm better than you. In fact, people who are better than me went to that game in my own family. They love the game. I personally didn't watch it. I didn't watch it for 1 second. Oh, I meant to watch it. I was afraid the NSA was seeing if I was watching it or not, because I realized that if you don't watch the Super Bowl, you may be a communist spy. You may not be an American. And so I was very worried that I would be somehow put on a list, a no-buy list or a no-fly list or a no-cry list or a no-schmy list if I didn't watch the Super Bowl. But I didn't get around to it. You see, I was working on two books. Now, that's not, again, trying to burnish my halo, but I was working on two books, including the new nonfiction book about this president of ours and what he did while you watched the game. See, here's what actually happened while you were watching the game. Now, I've got a lot of news to cover, but I'm not going to do it all in the first opening 2 seconds. You're going to have to stick with me for a while. But let me tell you one of the big pieces of news that didn't make it to you in your drunken stupor during the Super Bowl. While you're watching the Super Bowl, Russia plans joint military drills with North Korea. That's right. The psychotic sorority that runs America, the pedantic academics, the crazy people running America have pushed Russia into the hands of North Korea. You'd say this can't be happening. And what does it mean to me? Well, it means a lot to you. See, one nuke can ruin your day. And as I say, a nuke doesn't know whether you're a progressive, socialist, communist, fellow traveler, conservative, Nazi. A nuke doesn't know, and it doesn't distinguish any more than Obama's children with measles and the illnesses they're bringing in distinguish. Not at all. See, microbes don't discriminate either. They don't know if you're a good... microbes don't know whether you're a good socialist or a someone who wants income redistribution. You could wind up with the microbes that Obama's children are bringing in on a daily basis, the illegal aliens. And speaking of which, we learned over the weekend that transgender illegals being brought in are guaranteed the right to hormone therapy while in detention. So while your father or grandfather is suffering in a hospital, let's say for veterans, and getting very poor care, the assistant director of the ICE Office of Detention says, with respect to the treatment while in detention, the medical care standard guarantees a right to hormone therapy for transgender individuals. They come first in the new America. That's right. They come first. So that's right. While you were watching the Super Bowl, Russia said, you know what? I'm going to show these academic, pedantic girls who are running America what their boycott has done to me. I'm joining with North Korea in a military drill this year. This is terrifying because, you see, over the weekend, your academic girlfriends running the nation decided that they may arm the Ukrainians to start a third world war with Russia. Do you understand that this is how wars start when you have psychotics running a government? But then you'd expect the left to be saying that, wouldn't you? You wouldn't expect old Mike Savage to be saying that, now would you? Well, you should, because I'm not predictable, nor am I owned by the left, the right, the center, the Repubs, the Dems, or the socialists. I am ordinarily just an American with an opinion. So instead of talking about all these news stories, I'm going to talk about something entirely different. And that is a typical Savage Saturday. This is the day before the Super Bowl. It was extraordinarily quiet in San Francisco. The roads were empty because all of the good Americans were shopping for the Super Bowl. They were buying their provisions as though there was something amazing that was going to happen. They bought their hot dogs. They bought their hamburger meat. They bought their beer. They bought their soft drinks. They're getting ready to party on Sunday. And that's okay, as I say. That's truly an American thing to do. And better people than I watched the game. In fact, a better person than I and my family went to the game. And he enjoyed it. But I didn't watch it. And so what I did was I went to San Francisco on Saturday, just to give you a little peek as to what I actually do. And I visited the new radio studios that are being built for KGO, KSFO, KNBR, and all the whole cluster of Cumulus stations being built out right now in San Francisco. And the chief engineer, Gary, kindly had me in there, and he said, please don't bring Teddy. I said, no, I'm bringing Teddy. He said, please don't bring Teddy. It's a construction zone. There's wires. There's nails. There's sawdust. So I left Teddy at home, and I visited the new radio studio in downtown San Francisco, and I was shown the new KSFO studio where I may broadcast from time to time. And I said, that's beautiful. That's great. That's wonderful. Long overdue. Congratulations to Cumulus for building this out. It looks beautiful. And then I proceeded to walk up to North Beach, which is the Italian-esque district of San Francisco. It's the reason I moved to San Francisco. I did not move here for any other reason other than the Italian district, because it reminded me of a small village in Europe, a village that sort of exists here and there, but it still exists here. And it butts up against Chinatown, which is very interesting unto itself, because there's a blending of some of the Chinatown elements in North Beach in terms of certain stores that sell goods from China, which I'm going to tell you about in a minute, apropos of politics. You're going to not believe where I'm leading you. Yeah, just follow the bouncing mic. So as the day went on, I walked into North Beach. I visited my friend Giovanni at Pinocchio Restaurant, and he said to me, Michael, you give me the inspiration to go on. I said, Giovanni, trust me. It gives me perspiration to do so. And he had a laugh out of that one. And I walked on. They all offered me a free drink, a free this. I didn't want to drink in the middle of the day, so I said, thank you. And then I was walking around and enjoying the light, taking tons of pictures. I'm doing the Savage Eye again that I used to do, the Savage Eye camera. And I haven't posted them yet. And then later, eventually, as the day wore on, the light started to fall, and I met my friend Jack Sarfati, the physicist who believes in, future determinations in this life, where you can, through the physical formulations, you can determine the future. So Jack and I were walking around laughing. He's from Brooklyn. I'm from the Bronx, and we always have a laugh together. We have a great sense of humor. I know Jack for 40 years. So we're walking around by the waterfront. Listen to this. And we sit as the sun is falling against the buildings on the other side, on the water side, with his shadow. We're sitting on a bench. I pick up my old cell phone. I said, Jack, let me just play my messages back and just see what they are. The first message says, this message is for Michael Savage. It's from the cardiology center of... So Jack immediately interjects, and you have 30 days to live. Well, I broke up laughing. I don't know if this translates, but it's a certain sense of humor that he and I have, and it made my day to just have someone with a tragic sense of humor, but I laughed. It was very funny. So then he went home, and I walked back up to North Beach, and I went up Grant Avenue, and I went past a Chinese antique store that's been there forever, for 40 years, and I love to look in this place. I rarely go in. Well, I stopped dead in my tracks. In the window, there were large, painted, wooden food dogs that I had never seen in my life. Now, all of you have seen food dogs. You know what they are? You know the big lion dogs that you see in front of houses? They're done in all forms. They're done in plaster. They're done in bronze. They're done in ceramic. These were in wood, and they were very ugly. And as you well know, they were created to the Chinese have food dogs or lion dogs, and they use these things in front of houses to drive away evil spirits, right? I couldn't resist going in and asking the owner what they were and when they... She said, well, they're Ming Dynasty, which means early 1700s. And I asked her how much they were, and I was floored by it. And I said, I have to have these things. And I eventually bought these things, which I'll tell you more about another time. They're a Ming Dynasty food dogs. But let me explain why I'm telling you this long story. You may say, who cares about this stuff? Tell me about Obama better. No, listen carefully. As I researched food dogs, I learned the following. I learned that some of these food dogs were even crafted to be roof tiles, you know, out of roof tile ceramic. Now hold on now. Here comes the punchline. During Mao's communist revolution between 1968 and 1974, the vermin called Red Guards were going through China, destroying every artifact that reminded the Chinese people of their cultural past. They were destroying pagodas, and they particularly wanted to destroy the food dogs as a symbol of the bourgeoisie and of class differentiation. You see, only the wealthy had food dogs in front of their doors. The poor couldn't afford them. And so these little communist Red Guards went around the countryside, getting the food dogs and destroying them, so people hid them, right? Listen to why I'm telling you this. Because right now, we have Red Guards in America. You may not know this. My entire show is warning you about what the Red Guards are doing to America. What do I mean by Red Guards? During a communist revolution, what they do is they purge a society of all cultural memory. Everything that is of any value, they destroy in order to destroy the unity and the history of the nation. And so the Red Guards of our media, the Red Guards of our academia, the Red Guards under Barack Obama are busily transforming America in many ways. We know about the economic ways, and we know about him flooding us with illiterate, many diseased, third world illegal aliens. Okay, we know about those. But culturally, his Red Guards in academia, his Red Guards on the networks are busily destroying every edifice of our culture. That's what I'm trying to warn you about. And that's why I told you the story of the Chinese food dogs. They were symbolic of a part of the Chinese culture, and Mao Zedong's Red Guards went around destroying them because they were unfair, because they represented a time in China when there were class differences. You get it? Fairness, income redistribution. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So who are the Red Guards of America? Who are they? Well, the Occupy movement are Red Guards. They're the street thugs, the Ferguson thugs that Obama stimulated, along with Holder and Sharpton. They're the Red Guards. But they're the Red Guards of the street. They're the thugs. They're the initial. They're going to be the shock troops or the army. But the more dangerous Red Guards are the men in pancake makeup and the girls in tight skirts with lipstick. The Red Guards of the media are the real dangerous ones. The Red Guards in academia are the worst vermin on the planet. So if you take a class in chemistry, they lecture you about Gaia and income redistribution. But I see a future of barbaric slavery if we don't stand up to them. And that's why I say, when I recently visited the Chinese antique store in San Francisco, this unusually colorful pair of wooden food dogs in the window stopped me in my walk, and I went in. They were very ugly and colorful. And remember, they were created to ward off evil spirits, placed typically at the entrance of the homes of the rich. And these temple lion dogs were destroyed during the Mao Zedong communist revolution. The Red Guards roamed China and destroyed such dogs as symbols of a decadent bourgeois culture. In Obama's terms, unfairness. So people in China tried to remove and hide these treasures of Chinese vast cultural heritage, some even removing the ceramic roof tiles of such lion dogs to save them from Mao's rapacious young thugs of political correctness that he named Red Guards. Does it sound familiar? Well, you see, our rogue president's Red Guards are rapidly destroying every vestige of America's cultural heritage. From the schools to the universities, young brains are being washed of history, even logic itself. Science is being replaced by rote repetition of big lies. Children are being taught that a better, more fair world is being created, when in fact it is a totalitarian monstrosity being erected by Obama. A world of conformist beliefs, not thought. A world where centralized authority replaces individualism. A world where conformity and nihilism trumps creativity and faith. And when and where the Red Guards of America's once independent media and academic establishments, where they once sought out, removed, and attempted to destroy any symbol of American distinction and greatness, that's when you have no America left. For example, When the film American Sniper attracted the biggest box office in decades and threatens to bring the people together in their love of country and the military, the harlots of Hollywood's left, with their fellow travelers in the media, have begun a campaign of hatred against this film and its hero and snipers in general. A hatred and vitriol which they dare not express towards the Islamic barbarians who are raping, beheading, and conquering as did Hitler's Nazis. And just like the Red Guards had done in Mao's China during that Cultural Revolution, America's Red Brigades are working tirelessly to demoralize and defeat their natural enemy, the nation's most productive and patriotic citizens. I'm Michael Savage. That's what I worked on this weekend. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Slow, but it's Rock and Roll Monday. We have almost no time. Too slow. Knock it off. I don't have time for it. But anyway, here's the thing. If you've listened to my show for any number of years, what you just heard in my opening is classic Savage. And I would call it the world through a food dog or the world through food dogs. And you have to understand something. One of the reasons I've always been drawn to art and even artists is, well, there's a number of reasons. It's very, very kind of multifaceted reasons. But if I'm telling you about food dogs, which I'm looking at right now in my radio studio, they're wooden. They were made in the late 1600s, early 1700s, Ming China. Ming Dynasty China. They represent history and culture. That's what art does for me. That's why I'm drawn to art. Art is a preservation of our cultural history and their cultural history and the world's cultural history. And as I speak, your Muslim barbarian friends in Mosul are burning manuscripts and burning libraries to the ground, just as their ancestors did to the Alexandria Library. History is repeating itself, idiots.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
It is 34 minutes after the hour. You're listening to one and only Savage Nation blasting out of San Francisco. But it's the city I've loved for all of these years I've lived here. I mean, where else can you walk on a sunny day in an Italian district and stumble into a Chinese antiquity store and find a pair of Ming Dynasty food dogs and have a history lesson? By the way, the dog breeds which resemble these lion dogs that you see in front of buildings are the Shar Pei, the Shih Tzu, the Pug, the ugly dogs, right? And then the Chow Chow, which I had. That was my dog Tippy as a kid, a half chow that bit me. The Pekingese. I never liked those pugs. I don't like Shar Peis or Shih Tzus. They're nasty. The tongues are always hanging out and they're drooling. I don't like droolers. I don't like drooling people. I don't like drooling dogs. But all right, some do. I don't like the slop, the sliver, the whole deal. To each his own. I mean, I like a neat little poodle. Very neat little guy. Anyway, but that's what they represent. The dog breeds which resemble them are those. The Pekingese Pug, Shar Pei, Shih Tzu, the Chow Chow, etc. Just for the dog lover out there. But the bigger story here is how the Red Guards on the Mao Zedong's revolution went around the countryside gathering up these food dogs and destroying them because they represented unfairness. And as you well know, Obama's been out to destroy the middle class from the day he could, from the day he entered Colombia. I don't know when he started deciding to do it. And the middle class, bourgeoisie, all one and the same. And there's no better way to do it than pretending that you're in favor of helping the middle class. And of course, the best way to help the middle class is bring in 30 million illiterate peasants from south of the border. They don't speak their own, they can't read or write their own language. So therefore, they'll never learn to read or write English. And just think of what you can do with them. Just think, if you're Dianne Feinstein, what you could get away with non-English reading or speaking people, if you're getting away with it with English speaking people, just imagine. I mean, she's not going to live forever, but think of the fun she's going to have when there's 30 million Americans who don't even know who she is. Just think about the fun you're going to have when you can wash the feet of the illegal alien and spit on the veteran like Nancy Pelosi. Just think about the fun you're going to have over the next few years, or bringing in transgendered people, like they're the most desirable of immigrants. Bring in transgendered and give them hormone therapy in detention centers while starving America's elderly for medical care. You give those transgenders from everywhere on earth, third world hellholes. You give them that hormone therapy. That's right. You make the morons pay for that, too. If this is not Mao's cultural revolution, what is? Tell me what is. Tell me what is. And once you see everything in the terms of which I'm in the terms of which I'm explaining them today, the whole world will fall in place for you. I promise you. Red guards, red brigades. Wait a minute, Savage said. So now you start looking at the news in another way. Then you see Wolf Blitzer with a red scarf around his forehead. He's one of the mild older red guards or red brigades. Everything the man says is meant to dissimulate our culture, our survival. Or any one of the other hosts on MSNBC, Red Guards, Red Brigades, sneering and snickering at our culture, the good parts of it, and elevating or erecting a degenerate, decadent culture that nowhere on earth could this survive but in America because the people are so docile and so Christianized. Yes, I'll say it again. The people have been so Christianized by a modern Christian church which has taught them not to hit back and not to stand up and not to fight that you can literally step on them and get away with it. You understand what I'm saying to you? Does this make sense to you at all? There's a lot more in the news. I mean, I'm not just going to go on about my views of the world, but this Red Guard, Red Brigade theme is so rich with reality for you. I'll give you an example. We'll talk about football for a minute. How long has the American Red Brigades, how long has the Red Guard been trying to denigrate football now? A couple of years, right? Football dangerous, football no good, football macho, football hurts children, football bad, football players attack women. Now, why would they do that? Because football, A, is a masculine sport. Women can't play it. So now you got to get rid of any sport that women can't play in because, after all, if you want a fair world and everyone's equal in the fair world, you got to get rid of sports where women can't play. And that's why you see women who can't fly an airplane being appointed to run the Air Force by Chairman Mao Obama. That's why you see a woman who's never driven a Chris Craft single-engine boat now running the U.S. Navy under Chairman Mao Obama. You get that picture? Do you understand who Red Guards are now? What do they need? Little red stars on their uniforms so you don't understand you're having a cultural revolution, social revolution, economic revolution, political revolution right in front of your eyes under this maniac in the White House and those tepid old... I guess I shouldn't blow a stack right now. It's Monday. And nobody wants to hear old Mike Savage. You know what they really want to hear? Someone said over the weekend, I got an email, Mike, you know what? Lighten up. You should laugh more. You really got to laugh more because people love your laugh. They don't want you to get too worked up. So this morning, as I was preparing the show, I was thinking about how do I pre-record laughs if I'm not happy. So Robert recorded me while I was talking about that. Robert, just play it. It's a minute
people
long.
People suggested I should laugh more because they love my laugh and I've gotten too serious.
Well, I tried to record some laughs, and I can't do it unless something's funny. What's funny at a time like this with a rogue president? Maybe you'd like to hear me laugh so you feel better. Boy, that really is funny, isn't it? That's a false laugh. Let's see my horoscope for Monday. You will be asked to give your opinion on a controversial topic today. And you must be honest about what you believe. Others will demand to know whose side you're on. And it is in your own best interest to tell them, well, no, I'll hold back that I think that we have a rogue president who's a communist, academic, pedantic idiot. Another fake laugh. Can I do a fake laugh when I'm trying to do a real laugh? I mean, can I do a real laugh when I'm trying to do a fake laugh? Let's see. That doesn't work. I can't force it. It's why I never became an actor. You see, I'm going to try one more time. Tell me something that I should laugh about, guys. Oh, wait, that's a laugh. Let's see, what happened over the weekend while most of America was hypnotized watching a football game? Let's see, the genius in the White House, the pedantic genius, decided to arm the Ukrainians to provoke a war with Russia, and Russia announced last night at midnight on Sunday, while America was in their hangover, that they're going to be initiating war games with North Korea. Now, how's that for a brilliant strategy of the psychopathic deviants running America? Now, that's a laugh. And that's a laugh, too. And by the way, I may as well continue having a good time because Valentine happens to be next week. That's a nice holiday. And what do you think women are going to ask? So what did you get for Valentine's Day? That's what girls say to each other.
Why don't you impress your woman and her friends? Because you're going to be a hero when she shows pictures all over social media that you came through for her on Valentine's Day. Look, nobody knows flowers better than me. You know that I have a degree in botany, and I know the best flowers, and there's only one company, Pro Flowers. And listen to me, yeah, you can get them elsewhere, but if you really want to get the best ones, for $19.99, you get 100 blooms of love with a free glass vase. And if you really want to be a sport, go for $9.99 more. You know what you get? You get a stuffed bear and gourmet chocolates. Go to proflowers.com, and if you love my show, you go to the mic on the right, and you put in my name, Savage. Why? Because it's the best. And I'm the best. And Pro Flowers is quick, easy, and they deliver on Valentine's Day. Don't wait for the last minute. Okay? Get it done early before it's too late. Do it today. What you do is this. If you wait long, the harder it's going to get to find the roses at this price. The prices will go up. No one has ever said, oh, I don't like those flowers that you told me about, Pro Flowers. All right? So please, if you love that woman in your life, go to proflowers.com. Click on the blue microphone in the top right and only type in Savage. That's proflowers.com. Click on the mic and type in Savage. Order today. This deal expires Friday at midnight. And let me tell you something else. If you like me, you'll do it for me. And that's all I want to say. And that's a laugh. Hey, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. That's a false laugh. You know, my laugh is actually making me laugh now. That's pretty good. I could see why they said to me, try it again, Robert. It actually,
that's a false laugh.
That's pretty good. That actually makes me feel better. Well, when you see that Obama has said that transgender illegals are guaranteed the right to hormone therapy in detention, is that a laughable matter? Robert, play that clip. This is not believable.
With respect to treatment while in detention, the medical care standard of the detention standards guarantees a right to hormone therapy for individuals who need it for treatment. Even in facilities that are not covered by that standard.
That's a false
laugh. Where did they
get
this one from? Where did they get these morons from? Which college is producing these people who speak like that? I wouldn't even say metrosexual. That would be giving them too much credit. These are asexual psychotics. Do they not even understand what he just said? You got soldiers, you got military rotting in hospitals, not getting medical care. And this demented communist government is putting transgender illegals ahead of them for hormone therapy and detention. Now, that's not a laugh. No. Let me take some calls on the Savage Nation. Let's start with line two. Go ahead, please. Line two, state your station name and subject.
Hi, WABC, and I would like to talk about what happened with the American Sniper, the anti-American, anti-military view that they're trying to push and relate it to culture. I saw American Sniper this weekend, and while I was watching, I couldn't help thinking about how the Lancet, During the war, they were undermining the mission, and the Lancet, with Johns Hopkins Public Health Department, put out a study that said that the Americans were responsible since the invasion of Iraq of 650,000 people.
Let's explain what Lancet is. It's a socialist medical journal run by ultra hard left Red Brigade doctors and academics. And I believe it still comes out of England. Is that correct?
That's correct, yep.
All right. And what they are complete left-wing fools who want to undermine the West's ability to defend itself against the Islamic barbarians who are taking over the world.
Right.
All right, so since I said it better than you, we'll move on. I don't mean to run over the ladies. I mean, you know, there's only so much we can talk about here without people getting crazy. Everywhere you turn, the Red Brigades are operating. You understand how I've given you something to use today? I'm not looking for you to burnish my halo. But you remember I said liberalism is a mental disorder. Well, that's old. That's established. Everyone knows that. So they don't even hear it anymore. You're immune to that. But if you don't understand why a psychotic administration would bring in 100,000, 13 million, 60 million illegal aliens, it's unless you understand what the Cultural Revolution is, what they intend to do, and how they're achieving it. That's why we went to the polls and voted out Obama's policies, right? And look what we got in exchange for it. We got these old men running the Republican Party, making believe that they're actually different than Obama, when in fact they're one and the same. They're identical. They're two Hydra heads of the same monster. You talk about a gargoyle, the Republican Hydra head, the Democrat Hydra head are attached to the same body. And that body is out to devour us. And that's what we went to the polls to stop, isn't it? Well, it hasn't happened, has it? And when a country reaches a point like this, it starts to boil and boil and boil, which is why I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War. It's gotten much worse since I wrote that book. It's gotten increasingly worse after the election because Obama is escalating his attacks upon the middle class. Obama is accelerating the Red Guard's march through our institutions and through our culture and through our mind and through our military. It's gotten so bad that I don't know how much time is left to save this nation. I really don't. So now let's go to some callers. Line number six. State your name, station, and subject, please.
My name is Tiffany. I'm calling on KSFO. And my subject, well, my question really is, who do you want to either run on the right or somebody that's already come forward saying they're going to run in 2016 for president? Because we are all...
Oh, you mean, do I want Bush, Carson, Christie, Cruz, Huckabee, Palin, Paul, Perry, Rubio, Santorum, Trump, or Walker? I'll take none of the above.
Okay, well, I didn't give much thought to Bobby Jindal until I heard...
Bobby Jindal's a good man. He can't win. So let's put an X through Bobby Jindal. He's toast. He's a good man. He's smart. He's got the right statements. He cannot win. He's unwinnable. So it's not just who we want. Can they win? Out of that entire list, maybe Trump could win if he really was serious about running. He's got the charisma, he's got the money, but I don't know that he really wants to give up his business empire. He could probably save the country. I don't know if he really wants to run, honestly. Bush, forget about it. You want another Bush?
No, I don't want another strain of the Bush family, no.
Okay, good. Carson is a certifiably great man, can't win. Christie, forget about it. It's like the Bridgegate. It's not the bridge. Cruz, toast. Huckabee, geek with a... I'm sorry, Huckabee has good ideas, but I'm sorry, they're not voting for a guy just because he plays a guitar and he's got family values. Palin, good woman, can't win. The media has destroyed her. Paul, they're destroying right now, saying he created his own ophthalmology board. This is how low they are. The Obama, they looked the other way for years of what he's done, where he came from, what's his background, who he is, Franklin Marshall. The whole thing, they didn't see any of that. But now, all of a sudden, this fine man, Paul, who is an ophthalmologist, oh, created his own board. That's no good to the psycho sissies at the New York Times. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is the Savage Nation, 55 minutes after the hour. And what we're talking about is serious business. We're not talking about deflated or inflated footballs. You like that? You can go to a sports network. God bless you if that's what you want to pay attention to. I'd rather focus on the destruction of America, and that while you were distracted with the ball game, as was most of America, Russia, instead of giving in to the psychotic sorority girls who are running America, announced last night that they're going to conduct joint military drills with the rogue nation of North Korea. Now, why would Russia do a thing like that? Because your yokel president, your naive, vicious yokel president, has a vendetta against Putin, which he thinks he's going to win by forcing the Russians into a corner. What he doesn't know is that while he was blowing dope at Columbia, they were eating wood rather than giving to the Nazis. They're not going to yield to the psycho sorority girls. You get it?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
New Monday, how are you? New Monday. Got to work, plan to sleep all day. Here come Tuesday, oh, Tuesday.
Blowhard Tuesday, okay, we're not there yet. We're not yet ready for Blowhard Tuesday. We are still having Blue Monday on the Savage Nation. It's sort of the day after, used to go to the zoo, and what happened in zoos many years ago before people were stopped from doing it is they would throw candy to the gorillas and the primates on Sunday. And zookeepers noticed that on Monday the gorillas were, you know, they were just like, they had hypoglycemia. They didn't even get up for a banana. Like, yeah, shove the banana, leave me alone, I got a hangover. I don't know, but that's what happened with the primates from the low blood sugar. It's a physiological reaction. Most of America today are like the primates in that zoo, hungover from the game. They don't want to know from nothing. They don't want to know about the 18 million new foreign workers since 09. They don't want to know that Obozo has done this, that Bush wants to do that, that Christie wants to do the same. They don't want to know from it. They figure, you know, the whole system is screwed. What can I do about it? It's not that they're stupid. They've given up. Which, of course, apathy, as you well know, is the road to hell. It's the road to the end of the nation. Once a population has been so beaten up that they become totally apathetic and all they want are sports, entertainment, drugs, alcohol, then the society becomes a death trap. Then the society is sort of like a tenement about to catch fire, where there are no exits, no fire escapes. So what can I do about it? People say, well, why do you do this then? Call me a fireman. Call me a fireman. I'm trying to warn you that the house is about to go up in fire. Let me ask you something. Would you be in favor, as the sorority behind Obama is, of starting a war with Russia over Ukraine? You know, there's about the same number of Russians in America as there are Ukrainians, and they're good, bad, and indifferent amongst all people. And all peoples come from a nation with a past. We know that. But would you want boots on the ground? Well, you would if it's someone else's boots, not yours, though. You're telling me that while the Islamic maniacs, the barbarians, are raging through Iraq, burning libraries, raping, pillaging like the Huns, the Mongols. Remember I told you that what they're doing is more closely akin to what the Mongols did when they invaded countries? The Islamic barbarians are very similar to the Mongols when the Mongols were invading under Attila the Hun. They would kill everyone in a town, blow up irrigation systems, flood cities. Only these people are even more dangerous because they're doing it in the name of a religion. See, they dream of a new empire. These crazy people are not so crazy after all. And their theory of warfare is that of terror. So they send their advance guard into America under the guise of suits and ties. Some of them could speak perfect English. But if you look at the eyes, you could see the crazy eyes. I can name five people in the media that, although they don't have beards, their eyes are the crazy eyes of these jihadists. I can tell you who they are, but I won't do it. I won't tell you who the front men are. You can read them yourself. I see them on CNN all the time. Over the weekend, one of them gave a softball interview to President Obama that was shockingly propagandist even for CNN. Fareed Zakaria, who I've never liked, not just because of his eyes, which I don't trust, by the way. His eyes look like the eyes of a deceitful man. I can pretty much read a person's eyes. This guy gives me not the chills. I just don't like him. So he does a soft piece with Obama and asks him why he doesn't call Muslims terrorists. And he lets Obama get away with the virtual double talk he's gotten away with for 6 years. Listen to clip number five.
There is an element growing out of Muslim communities in certain parts of the world that have perverted the religion, have embraced a nihilistic, violent, almost medieval interpretation of Islam. And they're doing damage in a lot of countries around the world.
Damage?
But it is absolutely true that I reject a notion that somehow that creates a religious war, because the overwhelming majority of Muslims reject that interpretation of Islam. They don't even recognize it as being Islam.
Why don't they say so, Mr. Obama? If what you say is true, then why don't your friends in CAIR or any of the other Muslim groups you've had in the White House and continue to have in the White House, why don't they get up in front of a microphone and say that? Why do we need you to say it? You know, one thing you got to give the Islamic State credit for is they say what they are. You see, they crave the old empire of Saladin the Turk, who was the first sultan of Syria and Egypt. And he founded the Ayyubid dynasty. And they ruled from 1174 to 1193. That's ISIS's godfather, Saladin the Turk. So if you think that they're just a bunch of crazy maniacs, you're mistaken. They're extremely organized. They're using American weapons, which were basically put in their hands by the retreating Iraqi army. They have our tanks. And you have to ask yourself, why is Obama not destroying their tanks? Why hasn't he sent in the weaponry to destroy their tanks? There are tanks, the Abrams. Does he want them to have tanks to take other cities? He couldn't want them to have our tanks, could he? Well, he could, couldn't he? He could be somewhat sympathetic to their goals. If you really watch the show Homeland a little too literally, you could say it's possible, couldn't you? Now, many of you watched the show Homeland on HBO for a few years, and it was so good that they're about to change the villains from radical Muslims to, I think, white terrorists. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they don't want to do any more Muslims. They were pressured by the terrorist front groups in America that you can't show Muslims who are terrorists as Muslim terrorists. Instead, focus on white men who are trying to build a global command in Kansas somewhere in an underground silo. Now, there's one senator who I have faith in. She's Senator Ayotte. And I think she's from New Hampshire. She screamed over the weekend on Fox News Sunday, demanding that President O define your enemy and declare war with Islamic extremism, as has done France and Britain. But he won't do it. He continues to double talk. Now, Ayotte's husband was an A-10 pilot in Iraq, so she knows what she's talking about. And you want to hear even something even further along the lines of it gets nuts and nuttier by the minute from the sorority running America? Why would Obama and his minions in the Defense Department want to undermine our best tank killer ever, the A-10? Why? Why are they trying to get it out off the battlefield? Moreover, why is he not using the A-10 in Iraq and Syria to destroy the tanks that they stole? But let's go back to the propagandist Fareed Zakaria, the front man, asking Obama the softball questions about not meeting, for example, with Netanyahu in 7.
I speak with Prime Minister Netanyahu all the time. We're declining to meet with him. I'm declining to meet with him simply because our general policy is we don't meet with any world leader 2 weeks before their election. I think that's inappropriate. And that's true with some of our closest allies.
You're a liar through and through, man. You're like a teapot that's boiling over with your own lies. What do you mean you don't meet? It's inappropriate? It's inappropriate, then why are you sending V-15, the U.S. political operatives, who were marinated in hate Israel activism, to undermine Netanyahu in Israel? You sent them there! You sent the team that put you in power! They're in Israel right now, you liar! And I'll name them, and I'll name the billionaire Jews behind them! How do you like that? Jeremy Byrd, the Team Obama community organizing slime bag wizard, is now in a tiny office in Tel Aviv, working around the clock to overthrow Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in the upcoming March elections through the V-15 campaign vehicle of the PeaceWorks Network Foundation. Now, who is Byrd? Wait till you hear who Byrd is. He attended Harvard's Divinity School. Isn't that classic? And he learned to do very big things by watching Big Bird as a child back in Missouri. But while in Cambridge, Massachusetts, this Bird came under the wing of Edmund Hanauer, a defamer of Israel. And I'll tell you more about that in a minute. Just know that he is the leader of Team Obama in Israel, working around the clock with hundreds of others to undermine Netanyahu. Now listen to, see, I told you the truth of what's actually going on. Obama lies with impunity, and that stooge, Zakaria, who should know better, if I could get that information, from the Jewish press, from World Net Daily. Why can't Zachariah, that double-talking phony, in my opinion, why couldn't he press Obama the next step? Listen to what Obama said when he says, why are you not meeting with Netanyahu? Listen to Seven again.
I speak with Prime Minister Netanyahu all the time. You know, we're declining to meet with him. I'm declining to meet with him simply because our general policy is we don't meet with any world leader 2 weeks before their election. I think that's inappropriate. And that's true with some of our closest allies.
So he lied, bald-faced lies, like he did about Obamacare, like he does about illegal aliens, like he does about everything on Earth. A naked, listen to me. All politicians are skilled liars. Most of them come from the law profession. I don't have to say any more. But when you reach someone at this level who is a pathological liar, who can lie with such impunity, he doesn't even understand, in other words, he lies so completely he doesn't even think he's lying. So he says it's inappropriate to meet with Netanyahu 2 weeks before an election? But you mean it's appropriate to send political activists to Israel to undermine Netanyahu? The team that put him in power is there working around the clock. A team, by the way, that includes the most vicious anti-Israels you could ever imagine. They hate Israel. They were a friend of Yasser Arafat. They were a friend of the PLO. They went to Harvard, most of them, a cauldron of Jew hatred. And we know that the guy at the head of it is this guy Byrd. Because the same themes and messages that he is putting out against Netanyahu were those put out by the American far left for the last 20 years at Harvard and other places. And as the Jewish press wrote over the weekend, listen to this. It is interesting that this twisted, blame-only-Israel, pro-Arafat background was not revealed when Jeremy Byrd played an instrumental role in U.S. President Barack Obama's two campaigns for presidency, or his continuing role thereafter in Obama's Organizing for America, for which Byrd was deputy director. But at least Byrd's blame-only-Israel background should be known now that he is playing a huge role in the V-15 effort to overthrow Netanyahu, or is it to overthrow Israel? The Israelis know what's going on, and I pray that this backfires, or I pray that they deport Byrd, or yet I pray that they arrest him as a political enemy. I actually think they should arrest Byrd as a foreign spy operating to undermine a legitimate government, and they should throw him into an Israeli jail with his Palestinian friends. See, now that would be justice. Since Byrd and his other friends from Harvard Divinity School and Columbia and Berkeley and Stanford think that it's all a game and it's all fun to undermine people with opposition research, they should be arrested for the acts of sedition they are performing or as spies, and they should be put into the prison wing with Palestinians for a week or two and let them marinate with the Palestinians that they have lauded all these last months and years, and let's see if they come away with a dose of realism. At least that's one man's opinion. I'll be right back. I'm Michael Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Celebrating America one show at a time. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Now, you say to yourself, how could a charlatan like Obama have gotten so far and be elected a second time if he's so bad? Well, it doesn't beg any questions. The explanation is the government media complex, the Red Brigades that have made this possible, the tons and tons of money, the billions of dollars given to them by foreign sources, Saudi Arabia probably, George Soros joining Saudi Arabia to undermine America. You know that. You understand how this works. So while ISIS tries to reestablish an ancient empire of terror, through terror, an ancient empire, the old empire of Saladin the Turk, that will reign throughout the entire Middle East, engulfing Turkmenistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran, current half of Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Jordan, half of Egypt. They're doing this, and they're putting it together one piece at a time by raping, killing, burying alive, executing, cutting heads off. And Obama, instead of supporting Israel, the only bulwark against the psychosis of the radical Islamists, undermines the Jewish state. And how could American Jews vote Democrat? How could they ever press the Democrat ticket ever again? I'll never understand the psychosis of the American Jewish liberal. But I investigated who's behind undermining Netanyahu. And it's not just Jeremy Byrd and the Team Obama community organizing campaign. I actually have the names of the Jewish billionaires. You heard me right. The Jewish billionaires who are funding the effort to overthrow Netanyahu and install a left-wing government. The article appeared in the world on WorldNet Daily by, I think it was Aaron Klein. It's a phenomenal article. I don't know if you're interested in this the day after the Super Bowl. Maybe it's too much. I don't know. But it's a phenomenal article that you shouldn't overlook. I think I posted it up on michaelsavage.com as well. It's an awesome article. But it names the Jewish billionaires who are out to undermine Israel and install a, let's say, world government-friendly socialist Israeli government. I can't put my hands on it right now. I don't know where the story is. And all while this is going on, Obama says he won't accept a budget that doesn't blow the budget through the ceiling. You know, stocks are fluctuating wildly because this evil president of ours, yes, some dare not call it evil, this evil president of ours has had the audacity not to say he'll rein in government spending, but he'll blow it up even more and tax more. So stocks took a nosedive this morning. People cannot believe that this man is so ragingly out of control. Why would he do a thing like this? Why would he say he won't accept a budget that doesn't raise spending through the roof? Why? Well, you can figure out why. I'm looking for that article. I just can't put my hands on it. Here it is. Netanyahu fires back at Obama army plotting his defeat. And we name, Aaron Klein names the billionaire Jews. Here's one. S. Daniel Abraham, the billionaire founder of the Slim Fast Food line. Abraham is a major donor to the Democrat Party and the Clinton Foundation. These are the New World Order individuals.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
So while the Iranians are rebuilding an ancient Persian empire, and ISIS is rebuilding the old empire of Saladin, Obama is undermining Israel and starting a war with Russia. You say, how could this be happening? Could they be that dumb? Yes, they can be. You know, just because a cadre seizes power doesn't mean that they know what they're doing. You see, just because a cadre is smart enough to manipulate a domestic political series of elections through various and sundry means, and because they have tons of money to manipulate the gullible public, does not mean they understand much about the world at large. The children around Obama, who I affectionately call the sorority, are amongst the dumbest people I've ever seen in my life. Vicious, malicious, but dumb. Totally dumb. They're pushing Russia into the arms of North Korea. I'll give you the evidence, okay? I'll prove to you that they're wrong about everything. While ISIS is raging through the Middle East, he attacks Israel. He undermines Israel by sending over 273 operatives. With the money of George Soros and some other billionaires, according to what I've been able to read, to influence a foreign election. He goes on CNN and Zacharias asks him about it, and he lies bald-faced to that Zachariah creature, who doesn't follow up with a question saying, but Mr. President, tell us about V-15 and Jeremy Byrd. Tell us why you sent T. Obama, your community organizing campaign, into Israel to undermine Netanyahu. He knew that that's going on. If I could find it, he could find it. But wait, it gets even better. Let's say you don't give a rat's behind about Israel. You're probably saying, who cares? Savage is excited about it, but I'm not. I don't give a damn about Israel. Okay, so let's go to the next one. How do you feel about a war with Russia? Not too good? Nuclear power? They're liable to wipe us off the map? Obama's pushing us to a third world war with Russia. Why do I say that? Well, I'll give you an example, a couple of them. He's taking the side of Ukraine over Russia. Is Ukraine in our sphere of interest, or is Ukraine in the backyard of Russia and has always been part of Russia until the Soviet collapse when it was the breadbasket of Russia? Why are we meddling in those affairs? You don't understand this either because you're a diehard left-wing liberal Democrat who doesn't understand much about the world. So then this Zachariah character on CNN with the puffball interview while you were watching the game asks President O about Russian relations in clip 9. Listen to this one.
What is absolutely true is that if you have a leader who continually drives past the off-ramps that we've provided, given the size of the Russian military, given the fact that Ukraine is not a NATO country, and so as a consequence, there, you know, there are clear limits in terms of what we would do militarily. You know, Mr. Putin has not been stopped so far.
So what did he just actually say? In other words, all of the campaign that he and the girls have come up with, the sanctions, trying to break their businesses, all the girls who've never run a lemonade stand said, "Ooh, let's put sanctions on them." And then they come up with their little hen party about sanctions, and they try them, and then Putin says, "You know what? I'll give you a Russian curse word for the sanctions. I'll show you what I'm going to do. Russia seeks an alliance with China." That's number one. Then the girls come up with another set of sanctions. They have another hen party somewhere in Georgetown. You know what Russia does? I read over the weekend, Russia says they're going to have joint military drills with North Korea. Now listen to this in clip 10 now.
To those who would suggest that we need to do more, you know, what I've said to them is that, you know, we can exact higher and higher costs, and that's exactly what we're doing, and we can bring diplomatic pressure to bear. I don't think that it would be wise for the United States or the world to see a actual military conflict between the United States and Russia.
Now, when in your lifetime have you heard of an American president even talking about a military conflict between the United States and Russia? I've not heard it once. I've been around a while. Even during the height of the Cold War, no president would be so scandalously reckless to even in passing suggest that they wouldn't go to war with Russia. But in front of Zachariah the Weird, he says a thing like that. That means that the sorority girls who hate guns and don't hit back are actually talking about, oh, why can't we? You know, why can't we? You know, we could have a limited war in Ukraine. Couldn't we use the planes and all that stuff that those white guys fly? You know, all the Nazis that we have in the tanks and planes? Couldn't we show those Ruskies? Couldn't we blow them up and push them back? Couldn't we do that? You don't think this goes on, do you? You don't think that these psychotic, drug-addicted children talk like that? You're crazy if you don't think so. They're running your country. They're the ones flooding America with transgendered individuals and then telling you that you have to provide the transgendered illegal aliens with hormone therapy while they're in detention, all at the same time spitting on our veterans. You have no idea what's going on, which is why I started the show talking about the Red Guards and the Red Brigades during the Communist Revolution. Do people actually have to wear red scarves for you to know that they're part of the Red Brigades of Obama? Do they have to have little red stars with a blue hat for you to know that we've had a Maoist revolution in America? Listen to me. I know this is too heavy for a Monday. I get it. I should have saved it for Wednesday. You know, you want big ratings, you got to go dumber and dumber and dumber. You want bigger ratings, go even dumber. You want giant ratings, talk about fart sounds like Howard Stern. You want even bigger ratings, talk about the most salacious things humans are possible of doing. Then you'll have giant money and giant ratings. Talk about belching and farting, have deviants on your show, ridicule people who are handicapped. Then you'll have a really big show. Really, really big show. So I really shouldn't be talking about these things. I recognize that. Because if I really want to survive in radio, I should limit it. Limit these things. I mean, you don't need to hear this. You'd rather talk about footballs, deflated footballs, than transgendered illegals guaranteed the right to hormone therapy and detention. You'd rather hear about who threw what ball to which person yesterday than what Obama is doing to undermine Netanyahu, starting a war with Russia, and alienating China now. He's also alienating China, if you know that. Are you ready for this? China is now pissed off at Obama for the incompetence of the sorority. Listen to clip 8.
What is absolute? You know, I was surprised when I heard that the Chinese government had put out these statements. I visited China just a while back and
are you listening?
Had some very successful meetings with President Xi.
What?
China doesn't need to be threatened because we have good relations with India. You know, my belief is that in this moment in history, you know, there's an opportunity to create a win-win formula in which all countries are abiding by a common set of rules and standards, and we're focused on lifting up prosperity for our people, not at the expense of others, but together with each other. And that's what my discussions with Prime Minister Modi have focused on.
Now, you got to listen to this again, just the beginning. Hold on, wait a minute. He's asked by the front man stooge, Zachariah, on CNN in a softball question, along the lines of that other one, Todd Brown, whatever his name is, the one with the fake beard, Todd Brown, all of a sudden they made him a media star, Todd, I don't know what his name is, Todd something, another stooge, a softball stooger. You know, they all work, they're press corps people. They may as well work for the government, and Michael Savage, 1998, beware the government media complex. But let's put that behind us for a minute. So Zachariah asks him about what's going on with China. Listen to the president's little snicker in the beginning of 8.
You know, I was surprised when I heard that the Chinese government had put out these statements. I visited China just a while back and had some very successful meetings with President Xi.
You sure you had very China successful meetings with President Xi? Stop it. Sure you had successful meetings with President Xi. President Xi agreed to nothing, and this wonderful leader of ours agreed to give up our carbon emissions in order to save the planet. And the president of China gave up nothing. He didn't give up a soybean. Of course he had successful meetings. The idiot went over there, and the Chinese laughed at him behind his back, mocked him behind his back, outmaneuvered him behind his back, and he came back with a great meeting and a nice Peking duck. So this is the world, according to me. So who listens to this show? Is this show small, big? I have to tell you, you know, you don't even know. Sometimes you need it. I just got this again from the internet folks. I do very well on terrestrial stations. Don't undermine that at all. That's my bread and butter. But on the internet, I'm number one, meaning the younger guys, younger women who listen on Android devices, on little iPhones or whatever. I blew through every rating in the history of streaming radio. I just got this from TalkStream Live Power 50 Rankings Report. And he said, you have to understand that you won by significant, unprecedented margins for all four quarters this year. The cumulative listener sample size this year exceeded 4.5 million. Your single show exceeded a 25 share of all shows. Michael, he said, do you know how big that is? You have a 25 share on streaming radio. Rush Limbaugh has a 12 share. Laura Ingram is number 3. Glenn Beck, 5. Sean Hannity, 6. Alex Jones, 9. Dennis Miller, 10. And there's other good people in the media, don't get me wrong. But my ratings are, you know, I'm like the Super Bowl winner in streaming radio. So should I not tell you that? You mean someone else is going to tell you that? Now, why am I telling you that? To blow my own horn? Yes, of course. Why am I blowing my own horn? Because I'm saying I'm taking a big chance by the day after the Super Bowl. Instead of sitting here talking about who threw what and which one hit who and what did this and did that, the do, you did that already. I'm not going to do it. I was fuming till I got on the air. I was in agony until I came on the air today to tell you what this maniac is doing to us in the world. He's not only purposely destroying America's middle class, he's wrecking world relations with China, with Russia, with Israel. Is it unprecedented? Yes. Is it unpredicted? No. In my great prescient book, Stop the Coming Civil War, which I highly recommend you buy, I said to you in that book, he treats our enemies like friends and our friends like enemies. I saw this coming. But there's a side of me that saw more coming. If he keeps this up, if he keeps insisting on overriding Congress and running a parallel government, the rogue president is liable to provoke a civil war in this country, which would be a disaster for all of us. And the only safety valve that we have is impeachment. The impeachment safety valve was established to stop a rogue president before he provokes a civil war. And that's why I've said to you for weeks now, impeachment is a viable option. Now, wait a minute. I'm a realist. I'm not naive. Would the full Congress vote for impeachment? Never. The lily-livered Republicans would cave. However, impeachment hearings would stop him in his tracks. It would expose the crimes and misdemeanors that he has committed, and he continues to commit against the Constitution and the people itself. The Republic itself is in danger from what he is doing. So I said to you last time, please try to hear me for the final time, because I don't know if anyone's lifted this yet. There's probably no single act that this man has done that is by itself impeachable. However, legalistically, I'm pretty certain that if you put the collective body of acts that he has committed and continues to act together in a body, collectively they consist of actionable offenses which rise to the level of crimes and misdemeanors, and therefore he could be held accountable in an impeachment hearing. That's my opinion. If I were an attorney, that's what I would recommend, to stop him before it's too late, before there are no borders, no language, and no culture, before the Red Guards decimate this entire nation, before this lunatic drives us into a hot war with Russia, until he undermines the dollar where there's no value left. How could he get up on the weekend and say, I'm going to print more money? We're getting rid of that nasty, unnecessary sequester. We're not going to cut funding. We're going to spend more and more and more. We're going to blow Greece away in terms of what we're going to do here. We're going to make those Greek socialists look like conservatives by the time I get through. For I am the great one. For I am the master of the universe. I will print money. I will bring in diseased and starving illegal aliens who will never work. They won't put a dime into the treasury, but the schmucks in the middle will continue to pay. Well, I tell them I'm on their side because I am the great one. I am the master. I am the mystic. I can do anything. These are the thoughts that run through my head. It's a wonder that I can sleep at night. It is a wonder. I admit that it's a wonder. It's a miracle, actually. It's a gift from God that I can see what's going on, combine it all, permutate, combination, supercomputer in my head, put it together, boil it down, make it palatable, send it out to the world, and pray to God that something happens to save us before it's too late. All right, the minute I come back on the Savage Nation, it's Unprotected Talk, name, station, topic. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. And now we turn to the home front under King Obama, where the useless and propagandist Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which is nothing but a propaganda arm of the Obama administration, and that Weasley director Tom Frieden on Sunday warns of a large outbreak of measles. Now, we know the measles epidemic. The epicenter was Disneyland this time. And we're all pretty certain that it came from illegal aliens working at Disneyland, visiting Disneyland, because you see, what you don't know is that the children, Obama's kids who were brought in this summer, are being treated like, well, royal guests to America's house of cards. And they're given things that you could never believe. Things not given to the American child for free are given to the illegals, including, yes, you heard me. Yes, you heard me. Free visits to Disneyland. Have you read that anywhere? Well, of course you haven't. But the closest that the stooges at the CDC will come to admitting that is telling you that it probably came from overseas. Now, that's an antique phrase, overseas. Overseas? What does that mean? What do you mean came from overseas? Why doesn't he just break out in a dress and start to sing over there? I mean, Tom Frieden could come out in a pinafore and sing over there. It would be as interesting as him saying that measles came from overseas. Over there, over there. Oh, the Yanks are coming, the Yanks are coming. Be quite a review. Anyway, Dr. Freakin said that the U.S. is likely to see more cases. Well, of course, we could stop the cases of measles by going to the epicenter, the many epicenters. But no, Dr. Freakin wouldn't tell you that. That would be the first rule of epidemiology, which is stop the disease at its source. You stop the illegals from coming in. You screen them. You don't let those who are sick come in. Instead, this twisted government is inviting more of the sick than you could ever imagine. And they're giving hormone therapy to transgenders rather than give our soldiers a jujube.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, flag or sleeve or leave. He'll come Tuesday. Oh,
it is
Tuesday.
The Savage Nation. Here's the problem about hour number three, which is I can't repeat everything that I've done. In other words, if I were to go back to hour number one and talk about the Red Guards, the Red Brigades, the Food Dogs, it would be a whole hour for me to repeat what I've already done. And then if I were to bring you up to speed with what Obama's doing to Israel, how he set relations with China back, how he's threatening a world war with Russia, I'd have to do a whole 2 hours again. So if you're going to listen to my show for 3 full hours a day, as some of you have the time to do and the inclination, that's fine. And the others are just going to have to catch up through the callers in hour number three. However, I'm now going to start a new subject in this hour, which I hinted at in the previous hours. This morning, President Zero got up and like a lunatic, like Alfred E. Newman in the Mad Comic says, not only am I not going to cut my spending, but just to show you what a great man I am and what how strong I am, how powerful I am, and what morons those idiots are in the Republican Party, I'm going to spend more than I've ever spent. There is no such thing as a limitation on what I'm going to spend. You have to listen to 25 and 26 and tell me he's not crazy.
So we can afford to make these investments while remaining fiscally responsible. And in fact, we cannot afford... We would be making a critical error if we avoided making these investments. We can't afford not to. I'm not going to accept a budget that locks in sequestration going forward. It would be bad for our security and bad for our growth. I will not accept a budget that severs the vital link between our national security and our economic security.
So to show you what the Red Brigades have done is they told the Republicans in the Defense Department, here's what we'll do. We'll teach you a lesson. You want more money for the military? Good, then we're going to spend on everything else. Illegal aliens, free K, this, food, you name it. The whole panoply of liberal thievery was tacked onto the defense spending authorization bill. So now the liar-in-chief gets up and says it'd be bad for our security. You understand what he's doing here? In order to make sure that the grease goes down to the road builders, the thieves in the solar business, all the crooks that make up the Democrat Party base, in order to make sure that the crooks and thieves and brigands and America haters who make billions of dollars off the largesse that comes out of your back pocket through your taxation, in order to make sure they continue to get greased, he ties the budget to the Defense Department. And he says it's bad for our national security. This is what you're beyond belief. Now listen to how stupid it gets in 27 about our... Let's do fiscal. Listen to 27.
The budget I've sent to Congress today is fully paid for through a combination of smart spending cuts and tax reforms. Let me give you an example. Right now our tax code is full of loopholes for special interests, like the trust fund loophole that allows the wealthiest Americans to avoid paying taxes on their unearned income. I think we should fix that.
Now who are his friends? Who does he invite to the White House? The poorest or the wealthiest? I would assume his supporters are not the poorest. You know, money is the mother's milk of politics. So I'd assume it's the wealthiest people in the world that are his friends. Now, why would he be attacking them? The answer is he isn't. He's attacking the middle class. He's attacking the middle class straight in the heart. That's what he's doing. And he's trying to start another game of class warfare. And he may succeed, by the way. He may succeed because of the have-nots that he's ushering into America and the inherent... millions of unlucky poor in America. Unlucky or lazy. Some are unlucky, some are lazy, some through accidents or just bad luck, try their best. They want the government to support them. So now he's now tying Homeland Security to this. This is the same Homeland Security Department that announced today that transgendered illegal aliens are guaranteed a right to hormone therapy while they're in detention. Does that sound like a wise way to spend money? Is there anyone listening to this show who can, with a straight face to themselves, don't bother calling me, listen to clip 33, listen to this.
With respect to treatment while in detention, the medical care standard of the detention standards guarantees a right to hormone therapy for individuals who need it for treatment. Even in facilities that are not covered by that standard.
I ask you, is this not an insane government? Are they not insane? Everything is insane. First of all, the illegals should be deported. Let's start with that. And secondly, why you bring in transgendered illegals? What are they going to add to society? What are they going to add? Lacage au fall? Is that what we need? A review of foreign-speaking Lacage au fall? In what language should we have it now? In what language should we see a new review of the transgendered Lacage au fall? In what? Spanish? Russian? I mean, where are they going? Chinese Lacage au fall? What more do we need? A review, a multicultural review of Lacage au fall? That's going to add to America's cultural base. It's unreal to me. Why are you bringing them in? Are they desirable or undesirable? You're not allowed to ask the question? No, you're not allowed to ask the question. If you do, you're some kind of ist. I don't know what ist you are. But you're an ist if you ask the question of, is the illegal alien that you're bringing in desirable or undesirable? Let me ask you something. Do you select who comes into your house? You'd be a damn fool if you didn't. Is Obama selective as to who is desirable and undesirable with regard to who comes into the White House? He's never invited a conservative from talk radio to the White House, so we're the undesirables. But he's invited illegal aliens, not only to the White House, but to dinner, to the State of the Union speech. He takes an undesirable like Al Sharpton, a tax beat, a rabble-rouser, a hater. He would be an undesirable in my mind, but no, he's been in the White House. So Obama makes these decisions about who is desirable and who is undesirable into the White House. You make these decisions, so why shouldn't we, as a voting public, decide which immigrants are desirable and which are undesirable? Why is that not right to ask that question? It was done for the last history of America. You didn't just take anyone who wanted to come to America. You didn't take criminals. You didn't take in criminals. Castro did that to us with the Mariel boatlift, and Obama is doing that to us with the choo-choo train from Honduras boatlift. The train lift, we'll call it the train lift. The train lift from this summer. So that's a new topic now. He's going to blow the budget out even more, spend more, just because he wants to be spiteful and he wants to show what a big socialist he is. So I'm asking you, how much worse can it get? Much worse, unless he's impeached. Only through impeachment can all of the crimes and misdemeanors be put together in a single charge. I have the actual charge sheet right here. I have 300, let me be specific. What is the charge sheet for Obama's impeachment? Well, I have 266 printed pages of a charge sheet, and each chapter has notes, which run approximately 45 pages, numbered notes. Of every statement that is made in those 266 pages is referenced for fact, so you can check them. And the book is called Stop the Coming Civil War. And I ask, can America survive another civil war? And our nation, you know, is in real trouble and it's gotten worse. And he is laying not only the seeds of a second conflagration, but he is trying to make those seeds grow into great oaks. This is the danger we're in. So we need a vigorous governmental investigation of these charges as laid out in the coming civil war. Because then the people who are sitting on the fence, not the bums who are benefiting from the welfare state, forget about them. They're never going to want impeachment. Not the lily-livered Republicans. They're afraid to death of their own shadows. They're scared of their own shadow. If Boehner walks in a room somewhere and he sees himself in a mirror, he probably calls for state security. Are you kidding me? McConnell takes a look in the mirror as he's walking by the Senate dining room, and he sees the gullet hanging down. He probably thinks that someone's coming to get him. No, they're not going to defend. No, we need impeachment hearings so that we can see the collective charge sheet. And I'm asking you, listen, many of you bought the book. Again, I'm going to say it again. Stop the coming civil war. Now is the time for all good people to come together. We must demand impeachment. We have to. Otherwise, I'm telling you, he's not going to stop. I know his strategy. I know exactly what he's doing. Anyone can see this, which is play offense, not defense. In other words, the election showed that we hate him. The election showed we hate his socialist policies. The election showed we hate Feinstein. We hate them all. We know who they are. We hate them. They're destroying our country. We hate what they're doing to us. And we went there peacefully. No one bombed anything. No one blew up anything. No one shot anybody. No one punched anybody in the nose. Because we're good people. And we said to him, your policies stink. Your policies stink on ICE. It was a mandate about you and your communist philosophy and your Red Guards, and we hate it all. No, no more. And guess what happened? Came out the next day. Hey, big deal, election, schmelection. I am the great one. I am the anointed one. I'm untouchable because I have Fareed Zakaria in my pocket. In my left pocket, I have Fox News. Yeah, I have them all. See, we have Murdoch in our pocket as well. You don't know that. That's why Murdoch's minions are so mild on the illegal immigration problem. I know I shouldn't say it, but you may as well know the truth. I like Fox News. It's as good as we're going to get. But you notice they rarely ever cover illegal immigration. All the girls, the stockings, the shoes, the lipstick, the smiles, the smirks, the hair tosses. But ask the girls why they never talk about illegal immigrants. It's because Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch are in favor of illegals flooding America. Now, they wouldn't say that. That's my guess. I'm not part of the old boys club, but I'm guessing that's why they're soft on illegal aliens and why they're in favor of Hillary Clinton and old Fox News. The reason is quite simple. They have Murdoch in a bind. The government, the Obama administration, has Murdoch in a bind. They could indict him on those charges that have been hanging over his head for a long while, and he's playing ball with them. That's all. That's my guess. Now, you're not going to read this anywhere, and I realize that taking on a titan like him is insane. But what the heck? What the heck? Since I'm persona non grata in Murdoch's living rooms, and the girls won't touch me, they'll only come and dine on my shrimp on my boat, but they won't have me on their shows to show you what kind of gals they really are, I'll lay it out for you. See, I'm a borders, language, culture kind of guy, and to me, our borders, language, and culture are sacred. Say, what is an American? Well, I'll define it for you that way. Let's start with our borders, language, and culture. Let's go from there. Let's build on that. We're not defined by many other things. Borders, language, culture. I define them. People ask me when I started in radio in 1994, when I actually started the Paul Revere Society, how do you define a country? How do you define America? I said, a nation is defined by its borders, language, and culture. Am I wrong? Name a nation on earth that doesn't self-identify through its borders, its language, and its culture. Name one nation that doesn't. Name one. There is none, except ours, under the communist internationalist Barack Obama. He has destroyed our borders. He has turned our language into a mess, a polyglot mess, and he has trampled our culture through his Red Guards. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON. Yeah. Well, I'm having a great Monday. I have so much energy, I don't know what to do with it. It's a manic phase. I mean, I'll admit that I've been an up-and-down kind of guy my whole life. So what? Now they named it a disease, you hear? They define a man who's happy sometimes and sad, a mood swing, in other words, which is normal to the human condition. You go to Europe, for example, 100 years ago, people were happy some part of the day and they're unhappy another. Now they made it a disease in America. Somewhere along the 1950s, they said it's an illness, and they started putting people on medication for being normal and human. You hear this? So today I'm having a great phase. Tomorrow I'll be depressed. I know it happens every week. Monday, I'm brimming with energy because I've been off the air for 2 days. I'm just, all the ideas from the weekend, the pent up, it comes out. The blood is flowing with ideas and inspiration. Then by Tuesday, my mood shifts in the other direction. No energy, no euphoria. I don't understand. How do they make that an illness? Mood shifts may occur only a few times a year. You mean normal people have one mood their whole year? Robert, are you a normal person? Listen what the medical establishment says, that if you're normal, you don't have any mood shifts except a few times a year. In some cases, bipolar disorder causes symptoms of depression and mania at the same time. Hello? Isn't that called an entertainer? If you think about it, in other words, they're singing with full manic energy, but they're depressed. All the songs that are good are about depressive lyrics, right? No good, rotten thing. And they're making millions of dollars. Although bipolar disorder is a disruptive long-term condition, you can keep your moods in check by following a treatment plan. In most cases, bipolar disorder can be controlled with medications and counseling. Yeah, the counselor's going to help you with bipolar, sure. Like, they're not nuts behind the suit. Yeah, they're going to go, they're perfect. All day long, they're perfect. What are they? It's another person full of mental problems. That's why they're a shrink. It's not, I'm nothing against them. That's why people go into this these fields. They're trying to analyze themselves. It's not a laughable matter. But, of course, the medication's the answer to everything. If you belch more than four times a year, you're sick. It's called the burp disorder, and there's a medication for it. If you're, I could go down the list. They've turned everything into an illness. And the illness has to be cured only with a medication and therapy. So this whole thing of bipolar disorder, in my day it was manic depression. That's what they called it. Up, down, so what? As I've told you 1,000 times, listen to me. Of course there are extremes, I understand that. We're not talking about extremes. I'm a guy who lives near the water. I watch the tides come in. There's two tides up, two tides down, and there's four tides a day. Do you understand that? I guess God's bipolar, because he created a world with four tides. Now, if we had a consistent one tide only, one tide fits all, then we wouldn't have a bipolar God in a bipolar world. But I think that the world needs to be medicated. And I think that all bipolars who take medication should urinate in the bodies of water around the world in order to stabilize the tides. Perhaps then God will get the message that he was flawed in his creation of four tides a day. There should be no up and down in tides. That's unfair. It's unfair. And if you're living in Obama's universe, anything that's not consistent is unfair. Everything must be equal and consistent, even the tides. If not, it must be medicated or eradicated. So says President Zero. I'll be back with more unprotected talk to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Enjoy it while you can. I'm in my manic phase. It's Monday. It's Manic Monday on the Savage Nation. Tuesday's the toilet, a crash show, because I put out so much energy, I'm so focused, it's frightening. Wednesday's a struggle to even get into the studio. By Thursday, I'm already coming out of the, because it's almost Friday. Friday's great, another good day. That's the week in a summer. So I'm looking up searches related to bipolar disorder, symptoms, tests, borderline personality disorder. They're going to tell me with the... I've written 30 books. I have a daily show that I do more than I have more energy than anyone half my age. Famous people with bipolar disorder. Let's look this one up. Had they been medicated? Let's see. Mental illness in the spotlight. Vivian Leigh, never heard of her. Carrie Fisher, don't know who she is. Jean-Claude Van Damme, he was the martial artist. And what, he was bipolar? No wonder he became a great martial artist. He took it out on the wood and the bricks. Linda Hamilton, never heard of it. Sinead O'Connor, a schmuck who shaved the hair off. Vincent Van Gogh, how did they know he was bipolar? And if he was, so what? Look at the great paintings he did. Well, they should have medicated Vincent Van Gogh, you hear? Then what? What would he have painted? Nothing. He would have been an accountant somewhere in Normandy. No one would have heard of him. He wouldn't have gone down to come up and paint. Stupid! Medicating everybody who feel anything. 10 famous people with bipolar disorder. Let's see. Look at the crap they write. Let's see the 10 famous people. No, there's no list. Oh, then you got to click every minute, and then they put another ad in. That's the trick. I never heard of Vivian Leigh. I don't know who she is. She's bipolar? Where did that come up? Carrie Fisher, don't know who she is. I kind of heard the name. Sort of Jean-Claude Van Damme, blah, blah, blah. Diagnosis of rapid cycling bipolar. He said, you just have to take a little salt, the drug sodium valproate, and since I'm doing that, it's like boom. In 1 week, I felt it kick in. All the commotion around me, all the water around me, moving left and right around me, became like a lake. Yeah, and his career died. He took the medication, his career fell on its face. So that, and this is the problem. What has he done? What movie has he done recently with the disorder? You know, I was reading about the Romans used to drink from a... I remember when I was doing my nutrition years, the Romans would drink from certain spring waters, which were rich in... what is the... that metal that they all use for the bipolar. It was an early treatment in the 50s they used to use it. They stopped using it. I can't remember. I shouldn't have brought it up if I don't remember it. Is there a doctor in the house? You take a, it's a medal that it makes the people foam at the side of their mouth. They look like Democrats giving a press conference. One of Clinton's spokesmouths, Jamie Rubin, I remember to this day, used to foam at the side of his mouth, if I remember correctly, as he salivated over bombing Serbia with the brisket maker, Madeleine Halfbright. He got up there. There's little white spots coming out of the side of it. It causes a white substance to come from the side of the mouth. It's right on the tip of my nose. It turns out Perrier Springs have a certain amount of this mineral in it, which is why I like Perrier. It's very nice. I mix it with wine or something like that when I want a wine cooler. I don't drink wine this time of the year. I love wine, but I can't drink it during allergy season. Forget about it. It's a nightmare. Oh, my God. The allergies are out of control here in the Bay Area. Whew. The acacias in bloom, you know, the yellow. Oh, my God. It's cyclical horror. I can't wait till the spring is over. And yet then there's summer. Then the summer comes. You can't wait till winter. I like the winter the best because no pollen. Vincent Van Gogh. You're supposed to say Van Gogh. You can't say Van Gogh. Because Vincent Van Gogh, blah, blah, blah. What medical condition fueled him? Though some theories include epilepsy, depression, psychotic attacks, and bipolar disorder. In one published article in the American Journal of Psychiatry, says Van Gogh had earlier suffered two distinct episodes of reactive depression, and there are clearly bipolar aspects to his history. Both episodes of depression were followed by sustained periods of increasingly high energy and enthusiasm, first as an evangelist and then as an artist. Right, had they only medicated him, man, there'd be no art. And, well, we missed that one. That poor guy suffered. Look at the paintings he made. My God. You ever see The Starry Night by Van Gogh? The self-portrait is so awesome. They once had it on exhibit here at the De Young. It was in the Palace of the Legion of Honor. Oh, many, like 20 years ago or more, where you could walk up to it. There was no glass. The guards weren't there. Nobody bothered you. It was like pre-nut in America. The nuts were not rampant. In other words, if you were looked like a lunatic or your clothing stank, they didn't let you into a museum. Now they invite you in and give you a guided tour. So there was less, you know, vandalism. So you could go right up to the Van Gogh. I'll never forget as long as I live. I wrote about it in my journal. I walked up within inches of Van Gogh's self-portrait, right? And when I was like 2 inches away from it and put my eyes right near the painting, it was an hallucinogenic trip. I'm telling you, the movement of the oil, the way he put the oil paints together, if you got that close to the painting, literally had a reaction on your brain. That was the equivalent of some kind of psychedelic reaction. That's how great this man was. But, oh, they should have medicated him. So you missed the bipolar. What do you do if you have a president who is beyond bipolar? What if he's... Let me ask you this. Is there a psychiatrist in the house? What would you call a president who thinks he's always right, never ever negotiates with his opposition, always tries to steamroll them, considers everybody his inferior? What would you call that? Narcissism or some? This is a narcissistic disorder that needs some analysis. I think years from now, if the country does survive and the libraries are not purged in the future, somebody will analyze who Obama really was and define his mental illness, because this is a mentally ill man. Yes, you know, mental illness doesn't come in people drooling, and they can look perfectly normal, but they're sick. There's a sickness in a man who lives as the president of a republic and acts as though it's a dictatorship. That's an illness. And I would say it's a narcissistic disorder of some type. I'm not an expert on this. All of us think that we're great at some points, but then we get reined in. We make mistakes. We make mistakes and people tell us, hey, look, you went over the line, or you did this. Or you know, I'm sorry, like in a family, let's say, you're always trying to tell people what to do. They tell you what to do and say, just, you know, listen to me now. You're not God, and you have to shut your mouth, and you have to listen to other people in the family. Well, that's ideally how a republic works. Occasionally, the dictator has to shut his mouth and listen to the people. And if the people are saying, stop spending, lunatic, you're bankrupting our grandchildren. Or stop provoking Russia, you're going to start World War III. Or stop alienating China, you're going to start a war. Occasionally, the man might say, you know what, maybe I should change my positions. But no, he keeps rampaging on like a rogue elephant, trampling across a beautiful garden. He was given the most beautiful country on earth. And like a rogue elephant, he's trampling everything under his feet. Everything He comes upon, he crushes. You say, oh, I don't want to hear Obama bashing. Well, don't listen to it then. Go listen to something about a deflated football if you want, or about which goon punched which goon, like I give a damn. No, this is what I care about. This is my bread and butter. This is my life. This is my livelihood. This is my lifeblood. These are my red corpuscles. This is all I care about, is the lifeblood of America. And I see it in everything I look at and everything I touch. Whether it's buying those food dogs on Grand Avenue in the Chinese store and seeing art from China in the 1600s or 1700s that the communists tried to destroy because it was a mark of unfairness. So the Red Guards gathered up all that art and tried to destroy it and burn it. Just as ISIS is now rampaging in Mosul, burning libraries to the ground, burning rare manuscripts to the ground, and those worthless rats in the UN say nothing. Those useless rats in the UN do nothing while the Islamic barbarians are burning libraries to the ground. Those useless, I have such contempt for the United Nations, you have no idea. Why are they in this country? Why do we want these internationalist crumbs in our country? What do they do for anyone on the planet? Nothing. They're grifters, all of them. But nevertheless, they're saying nothing about them burning libraries to the ground. Rare manuscripts dating back 1,000 years, the Muslims are burning them in fires like the way Hitler did, with book burnings. And what does Michael Moore have to say about that? What does Obama have to say about that? Nothing. He attacks Israel instead. Instead of once saying they're rampaging and burning libraries and we're going to put a stop to it. Instead, he attacks Netanyahu. So I try to correct the world in my own way. You know, there's an old saying, you know, it's the world according to the way I see it. Am I wrong? Do you think I am wrong in the way I see the world? That I'm supposed to pay attention to a football game while they're burning libraries to the ground? Remember when I gave you a history of the Arab march across the Middle East, where in only 25 years they conquered a large swath of many nations through the exact techniques being used by the Islamofascists right now called ISIS? Beheadings. Burnings, murder. Remember I told you that when they got to Egypt, which at that time had not been a Muslim nation, when the Muslims fell upon Egypt, Egypt fell almost without resistance to the new Islamic conquerors who had a fanatical belief in the sufficiency of a single book, the Quran. And so what did the Muslims do in Egypt, a very advanced civilization? They wiped out the vestiges of the book copying industry of the Alexandria Library. They burnt it to the ground. They burnt the books. And I am talking about in the years of about 600. And so what the barbarians did in the 600s, they're doing right now in front of our eyes. And instead of taking this on, Obama lies about them, says they don't represent Islam, and instead sends 273 operatives over to undermine the one democracy in the Middle East, Israel. And yet we elected people that are doing nothing. So I realize that, you know, you don't want to hear any more about this. But, I don't know how to deal with this other than talk about it. So we have a president who, if I was watching the show Homeland, I'd be very worried. But since I don't watch Homeland, I'm not very worried because it's impossible that an operative is running the country. It's impossible. It couldn't happen here. It can't happen here. Even though it's happening right in front of our eyes, it's not happening here. Because, after all, Fareed Zakaria said it isn't happening here. Wolf Blitzer, one of the Red Guards, admittedly one of the old ones, and one of the feeble, impotent ones, is a member of the Red Guard. Who else is a member of the Red Guard? All of them. All of them on CNN, all of them on MSNBC are Red Guards, Red Brigades. Every one of them are cultural imperialists of the international kind, destroying every edifice of American culture as fast as they can, mocking every element of American society that's decent, and elevating every element of American society that's indecent. I stand by those words. That's a complete sentence. So now I should take a call, shouldn't I? Let's go to the line number 5. Please state your name, station, and topic. Go ahead, please.
Hi, it's Alan from West Palm Beach, listening on WFTL.
And?
Hello?
Yes, and what's the topic?
The topic is the abandonment of manufacturing of Hellfire and Tomahawk missiles as of next year.
Well, why would Obama not want to manufacture Hellfire missiles or Tomahawk missiles? Why?
I'll tell you exactly why, Dr. Savage. Because we're using them aimlessly now, our supply, to bomb our own equipment in a putrid fight against ISIS. We will have no defense when Iran gets their nuclear bomb. They will attack our naval forces in the Persian Gulf. That's a given.
Wait a minute. Why is he not renewing the contracts to build Hellfire and such missiles? Who is this in the new defense budget? Is that what you're saying?
This is in the new defense budget that he has authorized. And
so, look, it goes along with my fear and my deepest suspicion. And I keep running into people who are not crazy who say to me he's an enemy and he's undermining America, destroying it as fast as he can. I hear it over and over again from sane people. Why are so many people repeating that in America now, that he's acting like an enemy out to destroy us? Why?
Because the man's a menace. The man is a menace, and he has another agenda and has had for many years.
And so many of us do see this, don't we?
Absolutely. How can you not?
And those who don't see it mock us as Obama haters. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. We're too busy, making sure transgender folks have rights at this point.
And anyone who attacks Obama and exposes him for what he's doing, with all the facts right in front of your eyes, you know what they'll say? You're crazy. He's not doing it. I still like him.
He's an incredible speaker. He's incredibly charismatic. He's the one bringing down our country.
No, but you're not alone in saying that. I hear it over and over wherever I go. I see it from men who are successful, women who are business people, students. Everybody who has a brain knows that he's not working in the best interests of America. Some go as far as saying what you say. So why doesn't the Republican Party impeach him and expose him?
Because they're afraid of. They're afraid of blowback by the liberal media and also apathy. I must tell you, the apathy in this country is like never.
Right, you could see that by the football fans. Absolutely. Take me out to the ball game has always ruled America. All right, I'm glad I took you on FTL. I'll be right back for more calls right here on your local station.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. It is, unfortunately, the end of my show. I mean, I could go on another 3 hours. I'm in one of those moods. It happens every once in a while, usually on Monday, when I'm so pent up with the news and the stories and my reviews and my walks. And I've been so happy to be here today. I couldn't wait to get on the air. Tomorrow it'll be the other phase. I know it. I'm phasic in this regard. I know Tuesdays are bad. Unless I go to a certain Chinese restaurant, a greasy spoon, and have a very hot dish before the show, then I can do the show better. But I'm not going to be near that restaurant tomorrow. It'll probably be some reheated garbage, and I'll be depressed. We'll see what happens tomorrow. But lithium is the medication I was talking about, the mineral salt, that was used to, let us say, subdue the manic episodes of manic depression. So just think, if I had had lithium, you would have had a rotten show today. See, this is the problem. But, you know, the lithium is present in certain foods and drinks in larger amounts. You don't know about that. But the Romans used to drink from a certain spring, spring waters, which later turned out to be rich in lithium. Did you know that? And if I'm not mistaken, I remember researching this in the 70s. I believe it was Perrier that had a certain trace amounts of lithium in it. It's interesting, I mean, to find out these things, isn't it? I mean, right? So what can I say? There's no joke to be told. It's just a little factoid. As Russia plans joint military drills with North Korea as a result of Obama thinking he's going to push Putin around. See, while Obama was playing with marijuana, he was playing with the KGB. Tell me who wins that one. See? That's how the world works.
Savage.